This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Who are you giving the Peterlin Pass in this game?
Well, we need the proper branding, if we could, Mac.
The Peterlin Pass.
Thank you very much.
Glad to see your ego isn't getting out of control.
Not at all. Well, hey, we got to make sure.
The Peterlin Pass.
Oh, jeez. Easy, Mickey Mouse. We don't need that. So anyway, the Knicks have the Peterlin Pass tonight. They do. I don't know if you caught any of the Bulls-Knicks game last night. Every starter except for Jalen Brunson went 40-plus minutes of action. Jalen Brunson played 38 minutes. They're gassed. No Josh Hart tonight, by the way. The Knicks are getting the Peterlin Pass. I hate it because it shouldn't be this way. But on the second night of a back-to-back and after just leaving it all on the court against the Bulls last night, the Knicks get a Peterlin Pass. They're not going to be showing up at all. They're so focused and dialed in on Sunday against Boston. They're not even this game doesn't even matter.
Stop making excuses, and if you aren't going to stop making excuses for the Knicks, start making excuses for the Cavs too.
Because the Cavs didn't play nearly as many minutes as the Knicks did last night.
What was the differential in minutes between the Cavs
starters?
I think
Donovan played like 26 or 27 last night.
I think you're making it's the second. Both teams are playing the second half of back-to-back.
Okay.
So both teams deserve the Peterlin Pass because almost everybody played last night and almost everybody's playing tonight.
Cavs are 8.5-point favorites for a reason. They're 8.5-point favorites because Vegas is... No, it's not because if they were both healthy and both equipped at full strength, it would be an 8.5-point difference.
You've made more excuses for the Knicks in 2 minutes here than I've ever heard you make for the Cavs.
No, it's because it's the second night of a back-to-back where they just went into overtime and everyone played 40 minutes last night.
They played 30 plus minutes and play 40 minutes literally.
No, literally every starter except for Jalen Brunson played 40 plus minutes last night.
But not everyone because Brunson played 38. He only played 38.
Okay.
No, I think you're being. I don't like this. This Peterlin Pass. I reject it. Can I reject the Peterlin? I reject this Peterlin Pass.
It's not how it works. It's my pass. I give it out. You don't have control over the pass.
Disney can cancel the fast
Disney
passes.
I'm Disney in this instance, though. I'm the issuer of the pass.
I think I'm Disney.
No, I'm the issuer of the pass.
And you're in my theme park.
Ergo, I get to decide if it's revoked or not. I can also air claim to some passes that maybe were given out 40 years ago.
Then I think, like, I'm a Disney stockholder. If you're Disney and I hold stock in you,
You want, like, a piece of the board? Is that what you want? I'm still the governing body.
I'm like a less problematic Walt Disney. All right?
If we got to do secession style, where we do votes until the end to see who's got power on board, do so.
I've heard board on the floor is a thing.
If you somehow have power of the Peterlin Pass, then I've completely lost it.
But it's like any relationship. I get to decide where we have dinner, except not there or not there.
Yeah.
Like I think. Are you totally? It's your Peterlin Pass. Go give anybody, except not that one.
I have a designated Nick Peterlin Pass, and it's
the Peterlin Pass. Ha!
That's if he gives one.
Cat played 43 minutes last night.
Oh gosh. Should we send like a bouquet of flowers to his family? It's the NBA.
That's the problem. Even if this hadn't happened, where the Knicks had exhausted themselves in a meaningless game against the Bulls, which, by the way, I think is really, really dumb, but Tibbs goes hard in the paint. It's just what he does.
And real quick, we can also agree that the NBA could have totally seen this coming, knowing that the Knicks were going to be good and the Cavs were going to be good and flip-flop those damn games.
I hate back-to-backs in general. The Cavs always play hard off back-to-backs, and the Cavs, they're basically unicorns in the NBA, where you can actually account for them to play hard on a back-to-back and actually show up on back-to-backs. But for 90% of the league, Nick, they just don't even try on the second night of a back-to-back.
Well, if you'd like to be taken seriously, if the Knicks want to be taken seriously as a title contender, show up tonight.
They're not going to show up tonight. They're going to get waxed tonight.
Okay, then they're not a serious contender.
I already said they're not a serious contender anyway.
And in fairness, I feel the same about the Cavs. I'm not going to, if the Cavs lose this game or if the Knicks just boat race them, this will be one of the games that I'm not going to be pissed about it, but I'm not going to be happy about it. Like, this is a game you should get up for, and I feel the same way about the Knicks.
Yeah, Knicks fans, as I told you yesterday, I was like, they're so focused and dialed in on the fact that they're 0-5 against the best three teams in the NBA. They're so focused in on Sunday against Boston, they're not even taking this game as if it means anything.
Yeah, it's almost like the Cavs are one of the best teams in the NBA, and that could contribute to that record.
The other circumstances around this game, it just does not matter the same way to them.
Well, bleep Knicks fans, I don't give a damn about them anyways. I care about this game. This game, listen, of all the games in the rest of the season, this is probably one of the six most meaningful games you can have. And we can all look at it and go, yeah, it's a singular NBA regular season game, but if the Knicks don't show up tonight, it's not because they played a lot last night. It's because they're booty cheeks. It's because you're not a fit contender. That's what, like, this idea, we get so few of these. Like, if we're going to say, yeah, so
I'm upset as you are that we're robbed of this.
I don't think you are, because you're just willy-nilly popping out Peterlin passes like it's Perks in the 90s.
The Peterlin Pass.
Like, it's Perks in the
90s. Yeah. I don't know about you. I'm not some sort of Percocet pusher. That's not what I do.
No,
here.
That's not you.
Yeah.
The drug guy on the show. We have to make the
drug guy on the show.
You're the drug guy on the show. We've established this.
And send that to all my sponsors. Thank you, Peterlin. Daddy's back.
New York will be without Josh Hart. They're out with no Mitchell Robinson. Everyone except for Brunson played 40
Mitchell
plus
Robinson.
Minutes.
What a novel concept. Yeah, that's you.
He bullied the Cavs around 2 years ago, did he not?
I guess we can never really
He's still
assess
taking
where the
Jared
Knicks
Allen's
are.
Lunch money.
We can never really assess where the Knicks are because Mitchell Robinson's hurt half the season.
All you ever do is talk about the Knicks' wings, and Josh Hart is out in this game, and you're acting like it doesn't matter at all.
Do they still have Karl Anthony Towns? Do they still have Jalen Brunson?
Yeah,
do they still have?
And Kat played 43 minutes last night.
Oh,
he's
going to
look like you after a Zumba class.
Oh man, somebody
going
get that man
arena.
Some GTA right now. Somebody get him his PS5 so he can recharge.
I don't make the rules. It's just this is how back to backs in the NBA goes.
Yeah,
if you're not the Cavs,
all back to backs in the NBA are trap games. Every single one of them. So if you're both coming off back to backs, no matter whether you played 26 minutes or 38 minutes. That's enough basketball to tire your ass out. So at some point, you're both sufficiently tired. Go out there, roll the ball out on the court, and figure it the hell out.
It's a bad product for the NBA that this is what it's going to happen.
So what
here.
Happens if the
it's
Knicks win
product.
Tonight?
It never even crossed my mind. It never even crossed my mind that the Knicks would win this game.
I swear to you.
All day long even considered the Knicks winning this game.
I promise you, I was not setting a trap.
No, it's a simple question.
It got me to a point.
It's such
where
a simple, easy question. Like, what happens if the Knicks actually win? But you gotta know where my brain is at right now. I have no belief in this Knicks team to begin with, and I haven't for a very long time. I think they're very fraudulent. I think that's why they're going to make a massive move this offseason to try to get Kyrie Irving on that squad.
Way to go out on an island on that, by the way. Yeah, because everybody agrees that they're a fraudulent regular season only team.
Last week, you were talking glowingly of the Knicks.
Because I'm the one thinking they actually are a team you want to avoid in the playoffs if you want to have the easiest path to the NBA Finals, which is what we should be rooting for.
Okay, but it's not on an island when the one guy I talk with for 5 hours a day is talking as if this Knicks team is some sort of massive juggernaut.
He talked about them like they were the 2013 Celtics.
Which is how I talked about them last week.
The 2013 Celtics didn't have Karl Anthony Towns or Jalen Brunson.
We agree. It's a very problematic basketball team. Last week, all I kept hearing was you talk about their wings for days.
Yeah, they do.
How jealous you are of their wings for days.
They still have wings for days, even without Jalen. I almost said Jalen Hurts. Josh Hart. Got me flustered. I don't like the Peter. I do not like this Peterlin pass. I think it's
I just.
Kiss.
I wish the game could matter more. I really do. I wish it could matter more. If the Knicks end up winning this game, I'll just be shocked because the Cavs don't. The Cavs' superpower is not letting back-to-backs ruin them the way that other teams in the NBA, 90% of the NBA gets ruined by back-to-backs. The Cavs' superpower is they just don't have that ability.
I just think it's a trap of, well, if the Cavs win, you should win. And if the Cavs lose, well, that's the problem. Like I'm not saying you're doing this intentionally, but I'm saying, by the way you're setting this up, the only really actionable thing we can take away from this game is if the Cavs lose. And when two of the three best teams in the Eastern Conference are playing and two of the three best teams in the NBA are playing, I don't like doing that, especially when both teams are in the same circumstance. I think playing one extra quarter of basketball makes that much of a difference to what to expect out of the court.
I think you're going to have more to gauge off of what happens against Memphis, what happens against Orlando, what happens against Boston in the next four games. The next four that we have right there, I'd say you get more out of those three than you will out of tonight for the Cavs.
Listen, I was dead-ass wrong about the Nets game last night. I said 28 points. They only won.
By the way, when they were trailing at halftime, I was...
Were you monitoring my social media as people were being like, what happened to 28 points, Nick?
Oh, were people getting in there? I thought about you. I didn't know if people were getting in there or not.
At least three people.
And then a Cavalanche happened.
And then
the way that it happens during Cavs
games. And by the way, it's pretty damn classy because I didn't go back and be like, oh, what happened there? That's my I'm mocking you voice.
Yeah, very classy of you.
But only on social media where people can't hear my voice.
It's very big
of you. I would never do that on air because that's just classless. But on social media, when you can't hear my voice, yeah, that's when I get real good. Real good and talk downy to you.
To be fair, you did start off the conversation with the win by 31 and then brought it down to 28.
Brought down 28. It was being reasonable.
Brought it down to 28.
Dan Favale brought me back down to earth.
That first half did stink.
Yeah. I don't care.
It was bad basketball.
I don't care.
Were they shooting like 27% from three last night?
Oh, that's the other emboldened.
It was bad basketball.
That's the other thing that's wild about the Peterlin pass for the Knicks and maybe not the Cavs as well. I'll meet you in the middle. If you want to give both teams a Peterlin pass because they played last night,
I think that's where we're at.
I'll set you up.
I think
Peterlin pass.
Thank you.
But if you're only going to give the Knicks, for some reason, it raises my blood pressure.
No,
I don't care for it.
The game might as well not exist tonight, and this is coming from someone that loves regular season basketball and wants to make regular season basketball matter. But fix your back-to-back problem, NBA. This is ridiculous.
Well, the Cavs and Knicks don't. Don't hold them hostage because the NBA can't fix itself.
When Tibbs decided that in overtime he was keeping all his starters out there and they're going to play their butts off for a game against Chicago, he nuked this game tonight.
Josh Darrow, sideline reporter from Miami Hurricanes football, going to break down what Cam Ward does well and whether he fits in Cleveland in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. And right now we've got the guy. A man who's watched Cam Ward up close and personal the last bit as he's dominated at Miami. You know him as a sideline reporter for Hurricanes football. Josh Darrow joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Josh, welcome to the show.
Jeez almighty, was that an introduction. I love that. Thank you. Appreciate it. And the tease and the update, my God, radio playbook excellence. That was great. Thank you.
Yeah, I need you to call up QAM in Miami and tell them they're all scrubs after what you heard here in the last 5 minutes. Okay.
I'm going to walk right down the street, knock on the door, bust my ass in the studio, and just yell it that the guys in Cleveland are running circles around you guys.
And you know what? Don't stop at Miami. Go up to Tampa, then swing over to Charlotte. So we're having conversations about the number two pick. What quarterback fits? Cam Ward is seen as like a boomer bust kind of guy, but I just want to kind of dial it back to what you saw from Cam and what you think Cam did really well at Miami this last year.
A couple different things. I think one, just his leadership, right? And I mean, he just came in and from day one kind of took over the team. And that's kind of the nature of his personality. And I got a story from someone in the recruiting staff. Just kind of digging and trying to get as much background information as I can, stuff I can share, during the broadcast as a sideline reporter. That kind of shapes all that play-by-play stuff. And the very first day he arrived on campus, back in like January, one of the recruiting staffers is taking him around the athletic building. And obviously you have your football area, but there's so many other people in the athletic department. And Cam said to the lady, listen, I want to take me around to everybody here, and I want to introduce myself to them and meet them. So you were talking about, video, academics, training staff, equipment, and you know, whoever else was around. That's just kind of how he started his process at the University of Miami. So I think from that standpoint, you have a leadership. The other thing is that he's got unreal confidence in himself, which I mean, which from some of the quotes he's made, especially the ones recently about how he's going to make teams, you know, forget. He won't forget, right, the teams that don't draft him. He's got unbelievable amount of confidence in himself and his ability and his ability to, you know, pull his teams through. And then I just think, you know, he works really hard. That's the other thing too. Like you see some of the plays last year, you know, the scramble in the pocket, you know, rolling to your left, throwing back to your right, back of the end zone, you know, tippy toe on the back line. But like, he's the first guy in every day. You talk to Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator. Coach Dawson comes in first. The analyst comes in second. Cam Ward's third. And he's there all day, all night, studying film. And then he's got a great, he can see the field really well. He processes things really well, which I think is really hard to determine sometimes in quarterbacks, right? Like, what do they see? How fast do they process it? And how fast can they make decisions and get the ball out of their hand? And he really has great spatial awareness, understands football, sees the field, confident enough to call checks, make audibles at the line of scrimmage. Ball comes out quick. He's got great placement. So I think he has a lot of – he's big. He's like a legit – he's not 6'5", but, like, he's got a presence about him. And he's got a lot of experience. You know, I mean, he's been doing this for 5 years. So that's just the start with Cam Ward.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you talk about the first part of that because, you know, up until the AP quotes, I kind of felt like anytime I was hearing about Cam Ward, it was in relation to Shedeur Sanders and the two of them making like a video together. You know, Shedeur is so over-empowering and like so he's got a podcast and he just does everything. Where I felt like Cam Ward had just kind of been in the background and hadn't really shown off that confidence.
So that's the thing is that well, first of all, those two guys train together, mm-hmm. and there's videos that made their way out probably over the summer, maybe even beginning of the year. And I can't say the word, but they're talking amongst themselves, and Cam's giving it to Shedeur. So playfully, right? But like, that's how Cam is. Like, he's not backing down from anybody. He's not taking a back seat to anybody. I think he even said it during the season at one point on one of the interviews he did post game, like, I'm the best quarterback in the country. Like, he seriously believes that. And some of that is driven from him being an overlooked, under-recruited quarterback coming out of high school. There was a great piece on him on game day this year, and he basically said, I play with hate in my heart. And I think that's just his mechanism to compete, right? And his own self-belief in his own ability. And so it's just what drives him. And I think that's contagious and that's infectious. That's why he's a leader. It's why he can come in and, you know, the guy from the outside coming in and taking over the team, essentially, and running the team, especially the offensive side of the ball. He's a guy that broke down the team in the locker room all the time. So it's just who he is. I mean, it's just who he is, what he's made of, and I think it's part of why he's so special.
All right. Inevitably, because you talked about Cam's leadership ability, immediately somebody in our mentions on social media says, if Cam's leadership is the best quality, no thanks. It's Mike, by the way. Guy quit on his team at halftime during a game. I thought that was the dumbest damn thing in the world.
He didn't quit on his team. He didn't quit on his team. We can put that to rest. He didn't quit on his team. He didn't just go in the locker room and say, I'm done. That was all arranged. That was all made. That was all, I won't say orchestrated, but that was all done in concert with the powers that be. So there was no quitting on the team. I promise you that.
So do you think that's an easy thing for him to dispel in just personnel interviews?
I mean, there's about 45 to 50 other games that he didn't quit on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's coming. I don't think that's an issue. I think that's an over. I think outside perspective, the is that he quit, that he just decided not to. That he went into the locker room, walked in, and said, "I'm done." And why would he have played at all? I mean, why would he have risked anything and played at all? So. I just, I don't buy it. I don't buy it, and I think it's an easy narrative to go on that he just quit on his team, but that's, I mean, he didn't have to be there in the first place, and he didn't quit on Washington State. He didn't quit on Incarnate Word, and he came and basically turned around the Miami program this year. It was almost a Heisman Trophy winner. So, I mean, you want to focus on one decision, essentially, which I think is an error by those who look at it from the outside, or do you want to look at his body of work?
Take that, Mike.
Yeah, take that, Mike. Josh.
Take that, Mike. Take that, Mike.
Josh, you've been around college football for a while. You've seen a lot of quarterbacks. What do you think the ceiling is for Cam Ward at the next level?
I think the ceiling is look, at the end of the day, you got to have someone back there who's got first, you got to have talent, right? I mean, you got to have the ability to spin the football. You have the ability to, he can push the ball down the field. He can make the throws to the outside. But I think you also have to have someone who, it's tough. I mean, that was the biggest thing too. When he was recruited and he came in, one of the biggest things that Miami's personnel staff did when they were recruiting him or were looking at the film when he got into the portal was, when things went bad, how did he react when he was at Washington State? And when things went bad at Washington State, those things did not affect him. And you saw it this year with Miami. I mean, there were some interceptions that were questionable. That I'll admit. But that never impacted his performance. Certainly, by the way, he led Miami back a bunch of times this year. So you have to have a toughness about you physically. You have to have a toughness about you mentally. You have to understand the game. He was given the freedom. The way I looked at Cam Ward was, now they have iPads in college football. I mean, he would come, and I'm on the sideline, so I'm seeing this plain as day. He'd come off, he took the iPad, he'd sit with his coaches, and a lot of times he was the one that would get up, he would go to the receivers, he would go to the offensive line, he would go to the, I mean, I called him like the assistant offensive coordinator because that's kind of how he handled himself and the freedom he had to make calls and make checks and decode things at the line of scrimmage. So to me, I think there's an understanding of the game, there's a level of competitiveness, there's confidence, and there's inherent talent. And if you think you put all those things together, those make up what you would want in your quarterback.
Josh, it's
and he's a good, and he's a good, sorry, and he's a good, like, his, you could take all the, you know, look, at the end of the day, we can look at confidence one way or the other. Oh my God, he's arrogant. No, he believes in himself. Like, you got to have, at that level, mm-hmm. That's almost required. If you don't have that, you will wilt. But inside the locker room, right, that's infectious. People gravitate towards him. So, I think that's all good. And to be quite honest with you, if you don't have it, I think that's a bigger sort of red flag. No one is going to miss the mark on decoding that part of his personality.
Josh, whether it's this year or last year, you've seen three other draft-eligible quarterbacks this year that are likely to be drafted. Tyler Shuck out of Louisville, Kyle McCord this year at Syracuse, Riley Leonard when he was at Duke. I'm curious, of those three guys, which quarterback kind of impressed you the most?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray.
On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And watching them against Miami in ACC action.
So I would say not Riley Leonard. So I like not this year at least. From what I saw in him, obviously he came down here and did beat Miami, so I have to sort of take that, you know, in jest. But it was hard not to be impressed with Kyle McCord. You know, when once he got rolling against us, there was no turning back. You know, he worked in a system that he just absolutely flourished in. But the kid from Louisville, he's interesting, right? He's an older kid, but he's big. He's big with a big arm, played in a very offensive-friendly system under Brohm. So I like those two guys. In terms of being a quarterback that can operate at the next level, I'm looking at those two over Riley Leonard.
I got to ask you about the excitement for Carson Beck. Does it exist there? I mean, obviously, the NIL paid a lot of money for him, but it didn't leave on good terms there at Georgia.
No, it didn't leave on good terms. I think they're excited, I think, because I like Carson Beck. I know sort of at the end of this year it was questionable, but I had seen, you know, I've seen him play, and I like him. I'm pro Carson Beck. I mean, he's operated at a high level in a crazy ass conference in the SEC working his way up through, you know, a championship program. So all those things are there. Cam Ward's Cam Ward, right? You know what I mean? So The bar has been set very high, but at the same time, I think by setting that bar so high, they had to go out and get Carson Beck because you couldn't really risk going in without someone who has the ability to play that position at a high level. Maybe it may not be the same level as Cam Ward. He may not be in the Heisman conversation, although he was at the beginning of this year, but someone who can operate an offense and who has done it before and done it very well. Miami needed that at that position. And we also saw, to be quite honest, we haven't seen that from that position at the University of Miami in a very, I was just having a conversation with someone. I was out with someone with lunch today, who's a Canes fan, and we were talking about it, and I got my start in the early 2000s. So it'd been a long run of not seeing a lot of this. And I remember coming back from the Florida game, first game of the year, and I'm looking at my wife and I'm like, man, I have not just been this genuinely happy in a really long time. Like that performance against Florida and everything ensued after up until the end of the year. I think what Cam Ward did was, man, he gave a lot of people here some hope and belief about what you can do when you have that position right. And obviously a lot of other things trending in the right direction under Coach Cristobal, but to have that kind of play from that position, we hadn't seen it in I don't even know how long.
Josh, we got about 45 seconds here. What can you tell us about the other draft eligible Hurricanes, including that pretty damn fast wide receiver you got?
Yeah. Is there anyone in particular you want to know about?
Let's go. I can't remember his last name. Xavier Restrepo, right?
Restrepo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Xavier Restrepo. So he is, I don't know, he's a wide receiver. Like, he is your quintessential wide receiver. Not slot, not this. He does what you have to do. He does the two best things you have to do as a wide receiver, or two of the three best things you have to do as a wide receiver. He gets open and he catches the football. Now, he may not go 80, so that would be the third thing. And he's reliable. Real quick, Tyler Van Dyke was the quarterback here. He's Xavier Restrepo. No, Xavier Restrepo is every quarterback's guy because of the two things I said. He works, he's committed, he gets open, and he catches the football, and he's tough.
People say one of those things about me.
Gets open.
Which one is that?
It's definitely not get open. It's definitely not run 80 yards either. Josh, really great stuff, man. Appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
I'm heading off to QAM now to deliver the message, my friend.
All right. It never happened. Josh Darrow there, Miami Hurricane sideline reporter on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We got to react to the Cam Ward comments there in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. What's interesting about both Cam and Shador, this is where, because I don't treat them, and I'm glad you brought this up earlier in the show, I don't treat them as the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to understand, if you're going to pick one guy, what the upside is and where it could really go wrong really, really quickly. If you take Shador expecting a franchise quarterback, expecting somebody who can consistently be a top 10 quarterback, that's probably going to get you fired as quickly as if he just stinks altogether, right? Like, because I don't think that's who he is. With Cam Ward, I think you have to understand, one, you might have to wait a minute for it, and two, the upside's 5-7, as Ryan Robert puts it earlier, is maybe one of the 5-7 best quarterbacks in the NFL. The downside is he's washed out and with some other team in 4 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, the downside is him it being a complete car wreck.
Yeah.
That is
I'm not
an
saying
open
full
possibility.
Kaiser. Not saying full Kaiser.
I mean, Kaiser was a car wreck.
Kaiser adjacent?
That's we're in that territory, are we not? Everything outside of the London game, although there's a London game this year, so we can bring that back as well. It's interesting because I had gotten on Cam Ward, not necessarily looking at it in a negative or a positive way, just the idea that Shador is so... He's got a podcast. He's very good at this talking thing. He constantly drives narratives and attention, and he has so many different ways. He releases songs. Like, he's got so many different ways that he grabs people's attention. And it felt like to me that Cam Ward only ever grabbed people's attention when he was in clips with Shador Sanders. And then he had the AP quote that came out a couple days ago, and it was the first time that he really kind of stuck his neck out there. And it was very Josh Rosen-esque. When Josh Rosen said you'd regret the 9 picks ahead of me if you don't take me number 1 overall, it was very in that same vein. But Josh seemed to think that was not the case at all. And so it has me wondering, is Josh putting out that message because Cam Ward's camp understands that the narrative right now isn't really about Cam Ward's football? It's more about the idea that maybe he isn't the world's greatest leader, or maybe he isn't the world's biggest rah-rah guy. Or is he actually that, and we just haven't experienced it because Shador is so overwhelmingly Shador?
I mean, I think people put too much damn stock into the bowl game. Like I,
the most controversial thing around him.
It is,
and
but
it's
I,
not. It's like by a bullet. It's not even close.
But what's weird about it is we've seen plenty of guys go into bowl games, and there's an agreement on how much they're going to play. Especially if memory serves me correct, I think Cam was banged up going into that game. Like I just.
That's also the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Well, hey.
I know. We all have fun with the Pop-Tart Bowl.
And we love Pop-Tarts here.
And the best part about the Pop-Tart Bowl is typically just. The dancing Pop-Tarts.
I just think, so my thing is, when certain teams talk about leadership, what they really mean is, can you lead within the role we give you? And I think both Cam, this is where I actually do think, they're both personalities. They both are.
We've just seen so much more from Shador than we have Cam.
But you might call it diva. Somebody, I don't think either guy's a diva. I think they're just passionate dudes who play really, really hard and really, really give a damn. But there is a part of me that lies in, the biggest concern might not be, do you fit the scheme? Can you learn the scheme? That kind of thing. It might just be, does Kevin Stefanski really fit well with a not entirely controllable personality? Like, I think that absolutely sunk him with Baker.
For sure it did.
Because Baker was going to lead, but it was going to be in the way that Baker felt he needed to lead.
Yeah.
And Kevin, I don't think, jived with that.
No, by the end of it, I mean, that relationship was ruined.
And I think, quite frankly, there was some of that with Deshaun and Kevin. I think Deshaun told Kevin what Kevin wanted to hear, which is, oh, I love your offense. And then Deshaun got here and said, I really only want to play in my system and kind of... shoehorned his way into trying to do more of Deshaun concepts, and Kevin held out for 2 years before finally trying to build an offense to fit the quarterback that you paid $230 million guaranteed for. But there's that might end up being the biggest concern here. It's like whether it's Cam Ward and playing with controllable hate or whatever that was, playing with hate in his heart, I think was the phrase.
Hate in his heart, yeah.
Or, you know, Shador with the fact that he's a musician and he's this, that, and the other. I'm totally concerned if Kevin can handle these personalities.
And I hate
having that conversation, by the way.
Well, I don't know that you get a quarterback without these type of personalities these days.
And Mahomes.
Yeah, but he comes with so much himself, too. Like,
I mean,
we always act like, again, Josh Allen's got a massive personality, too.
But personality, I'm talking about, I think Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes follow the script. I don't think they write the script. Baker writes the script. I think Deshaun clearly wrote the script. I think Cam and Shador write the script.
I'm trying not to tie Mahomes' family into Mahomes.
Can I give you another one? Jameis Winston writes the script.
For sure.
And I think that's why. Remember when he heard those weird rumblings in October, the Browns are already done with Jameis, and he got benched going to the Cincy game where Deshaun got hurt and we couldn't figure out why? I think it's because if Deshaun had stayed healthy, I do think they were going to move on from Jameis quicker than I think people realized. Because he writes his own script. I don't think they like it, and I don't think Kevin feels comfortable there either.
I'm just trying to think about like recent draft quarterbacks and who's written the script and who hasn't written the script. Like, I think a lot of people would suggest that C.J. Stroud was not someone to write the script, and then I would turn around and make the suggestion that Bobby Slowick is not their offensive coordinator anymore, and that's for a reason. You know, like it's interesting. Like, can you have a are we calling it an egoless quarterback in 2025? Can that be a thing?
I really think it's about controllable personality.
Like is Cam Ward, if we talk about this with Cam Ward, Josh made the suggestion that he is very much like Shador, where I hadn't seen it that same way.
Like, I think if you asked every NFL, not every NFL head coach, no, I'm going to strike that, because I think there are coaches who can handle personality. I think if you asked 60% of NFL head coaches, draw me up your ideal quarterback, your ideal leader, it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady never said a damn thing in the press. Tom Brady never, I shouldn't say never leaked things, but very rarely went to the press with anything, even on the down low.
But by the end
he was a human avocado.
Yeah,
he
but
was
by,
just
by
there.
The end of it, though, that was the problem, though. Like, he got in fights over Alex Guerrero and his access to the team facilities and everything attached to it. Like, that's what ended up burning the whole Patriots thing down. I don't know, and even think about with like Josh Allen, for instance, are they just better at controlling the narratives around Josh Allen? He dates one of the more famous people on planet Earth. He is constantly around. He does every golf charity event in the world. Like
has he ever said anything interesting?
Do we have to get to his political talks? Done a lot of political leanings that is extremely interesting.
But when has he ever said anything against what the team wanted him to? Like, Baker would come out once a week and say something
toes the company line, and I guess that's where I'd give Mahomes credit in that regard, too, then, if we're going from that perspective. Like, do they get in line with what their coach's message is?
Yes. I don't know Cameron Shador is just going to be a puppet.
We know Shador's not going to be.
That's not a knock on either guy.
Shador doesn't have that in him to be a puppet.
I don't need my quarterback to be a puppet for a parrot, maybe is the better way to put it, for the head coach. I worry if this organization needs that. I think they look at guys saying something in public that doesn't fall in our line of what we want them to say as some sort of disruptive thing instead of its own form of what it is, which is leadership.
Yeah, it's just the Browns have a real control problem on their hands, because they constantly want to just grab everyone by the neck and be like, this is what you do. And if you, the moment you don't do it, it goes sideways. It has the entire time that these two have been in charge.
I think that's at the heart of half of what they do. I think it's why we saw them hand out a bunch of cool merch to social media influencers to see if somebody might actually say something nice about them, because they refuse to see 3-14 as the massive failure and own the failure that it is. No, the media is being hateful to us. It's not that we've created an environment that Myles Garrett just asked for a damn trade.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Deshaun trade and everything that came with it brought more shame upon the brown and orange logo than we ever thought possible, which is wild considering the crap that Browns fans have lived on. And, hey, you want to say something nice about us on your TikTok? Here's a hat.
They got a jacket, too. I'm not going to do that. I like some of the influencers.
See, I think that's the problem. When you criticize it, people go, oh, you got a problem with influencers?
It's not their fault. They got invited to do something that's fun and awesome.
And by the way,
they
should. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's about a team that is so desperate to find somebody to say nice in every bit of energy that you're out here putting into the ether, because this is the Browns. Well, all right, Cam might be the higher ceiling quarterback, but does he fit? You've stopped asking what wins football games.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You want to lose your way rather than win anyway. And that's the same thing with every other thing they do. And we love social media influencers here. It's not them. It's about continuing to focus on things that don't bring you wins and occasionally bring you shame. And so I continue to look at Cam and Shador and I'm like, how the hell are you going to handle 22-year-old kids that aren't just going to say whatever the hell you want? You want Joe Flacco. You want Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm. Football Ned Flanders.
I'm so happy to be here. Gosh, it's a beautiful day. Isn't Kevin Stefanski great? That's, I think that's what they consider culture. And I think honestly, it might end up being one of the reasons I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback, even if I personally like Cam Ward more than I did 2 weeks ago.
I mean, it's definitely going to be a part of the conversation as we ramp this thing up. Like, do they feel like they could actually even control someone like Shador, who beats to his own drum, because they weren't able to do it with both Baker and Deshaun?
High praise for Evan Mobley from an unlikely place. That's leading off the lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.